Hi, this is Drew Tomlin with the Association for Middle Level Education, broadcasting live from the AMLE podcast studios, and welcome to Journeys, an AMLE original series where we look at the critical work happening in the middle level and the critical lives that make that work possible. Today, we're starting a school year together through the eyes, the mind, and the heart of a middle school principal. This is, in fact, the first of four conversations that we'll have throughout the school year. As this principal experiences life in the middle level, we'll check in with her. So, let's begin. So first of all, we want to thank you for your time and effort today. Tell us your first name and what subjects and grades did you teach before you became a principal?
My name's Melinda Springman, and prior to being a principal, I was an English teacher. I taught 8th grade English and reading. I taught gifted students as well as remedial, and then I was an assistant principal for 6 years as well before I became a principal.
Excellent. Did you always want to be a middle school principal?
When I began my teaching career, I thought the only thing that I would do was teach. Pretty early in my career, I was approached by an assistant principal asking whether or not I had an interest in leadership, and at the time, I did not at all. I wanted to stay in the classroom, and it was only over the years when I saw how much impact administrators could have that I started to think it might be something I wanted to do.
How many years have you been at that school now as principal, Melinda?
I'm beginning my third year, so I've finished 2 years here.
As you, looking back then, you know, go back to pre-planning if you want to, but as you got ready for the school year, what was going through your mind?
I actually talked with my staff about this. Year three is a really exciting time. It reminded me of year three of being a teacher and that feeling of knowing that you're home, knowing the needs of your school and feeling confident enough to move in that direction. It was just a really different feel this year. So we had a great start to the school year. And for me, my top priority was to make sure that it was a very positive experience for the staff during pre-planning. And so a lot of my focus was on that first day and how to bring everybody back into the building and establish a sense of fun and passion as we started this school year. And I think we did a good job with that.
How do you continue to grow as a school leader? What resources do you look to? What ways do you continue to learn?
Well, I'm really lucky in my learning community within a pretty large district. I have a great network of principals that I work with. And actually, the middle school principals in my section of the county all started at the same time. So we really rely on each other a lot for sharing ideas and collaborating. And that, I would say, is the first resource that I go to. But beyond that, I actually just started my specialist degree in ed leadership this last summer because though I feel like I have a great toolbox, it's always good to go back and learn about new practices and analyze your own a little bit.
Well, what's the size? What's the makeup of your school, if you don't mind telling us?
We are a Title I school. As I said, this year we have 1,100 students. And in our area, we're very diverse. I'd say this year, I believe we're about 40% Caucasian, about 30% Hispanic, 25% African American, and then a little bit of every country you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And also financially very diverse. So we have students who come from homes of poverty, and we also have students who come from very wealthy homes and everything in the middle. So we have a really good sample of the region here in our school, and it brings a lot of great things with it, a lot of opportunities for kids to get to know about other people's lifestyles. And it also brings some challenges too, but that's why we choose to work with these kids.
There you go. So with that diversity, some people would look upon that diversity as such a great challenge in how you create cohesiveness within a school with that much diversity. What has been your role, or how have you made that happen to bring everybody together with all that diversity in your building?
Well, when I started at my school, there was already a sense of togetherness among the students. And I think that's something this school has always worked on, even prior to my arrival. The students come from three very different elementary schools. Mm-hmm. So their sixth grade year, there's often an awkward period where, just as all sixth graders, they're getting to know each other. But our sixth grade teachers do a lot of activities at the beginning of the year to get the kids interacting with one another and learning about each other. And then throughout sixth grade, there's a really big focus on giving students opportunities to share about their lives so that they can continue to build those friendships and networks. And then beyond that, we have to own the academic side of that diversity and figuring out how to best serve those needs. One of the things that we've done is, you know, not just take a look at your summative results, but what's happening during the year, so that along the way we're identifying what the kids need and then bringing in support, staff development, and gifted strategies to make sure that all of our students are getting rigor, but then also ESOL strategies for some of our language learners and differentiation strategies. So we've done a lot of staff development over the last couple of years, and it's really been focused on how to differentiate both for intervention and rigor. I think, and I know, it's had a great impact on the kids.
Great. It sounds like a lot of great programs, a lot of good things bringing people together. What are you feeling now? Here you, like you said, you're already a little bit into the school year. Are you nervous, excited? You know, are you scared at all? All of the above? Anything else?
All of the above, but also, you know, the beginning of the year is a time both of excitement and pressure, I think is the word that I would use as a principal. You know, everybody is looking to see what the school will do this year and what's our direction and what's our work. We have to choose our steps and our words very carefully. Lots of opportunities to interact with the parents at curriculum nights and things like that. So this time of year, there's a lot of time for me spent on thinking about how to message our work and how to make sure that the community isn't just aware, but is behind the work we're doing.
How much of that pressure comes from, you know, student assessment test scores?
I mean, I think that's the case for everybody. I think we're all measured by the achievement of our kids, and frankly, I think we should be. We should be using those scores to make our decisions and decide what to do next. In my case, because some of my students are still struggling, there is a pressure to make sure that we're addressing the needs of those kids. But likewise, there's also pressure to make sure that my high-achieving kids continue to be pushed. So that is where some of the pressure comes from. But I think probably far more than that is the pressure we put on ourselves as educators. You know, we do this because we love our kids and we want to see them do well. And when you sit in the principal's seat, ultimately, everything that happens is your responsibility. So I think that comes with its own pressures, but I think that most good educators who really care about their work probably hold themselves to a higher standard than anybody else does.
So you've talked about the challenges and the pressure, and so let's flip it a little bit. What are you looking forward to for the upcoming school year? What's something positive on the horizon?
We started a new program at my school this year that is hands down what I'm most excited about. It's called the On Point program. It's about our eighth grade students who are 15 years of age or will turn 15 during their eighth grade year. And the more we looked at student achievement and that intrinsic motivation piece, what we found is that some of our, I guess you would call, overage middle schoolers knew that they would have the opportunity to drop out of high school within their first year. And many of them would speak openly about the fact that that was an option. So throughout the course of last year, we actually visited a school and learned about a program they were doing and decided to do our own version. And the program will allow our eighth graders to take both their eighth and ninth grade curriculum within this school year, which will help them to enter high school taking 10th grade courses and actually graduate a year early. I would say without a doubt, that is definitely what I'm most excited about this year.
Wow. Well, you should be. Congratulations on launching a program like that. It definitely takes a courageous leader to step outside of the parameters of what is, you know, normally thought of how we get the work done. So congratulations on that and serving those students at risk. Our last question, and that is, what or maybe it's a who inspires you to work in the middle level every day? Why young adolescents? Why middle school?
I love teenagers. My whole teaching career was working with the middle grades. And the reason I love the middle grade level is because, in my opinion, it's one of the last times that you can really still make them fall in love with learning. They may be old enough that they think it's not cool to like school, but inside they still really do. And because of that, it's just so enjoyable to work with them, to see their smiles on their faces when they figure out something for the first time. And likewise, to coach them through what it means to become an adult and the social decisions that come with that. This is such a critical age. I feel like it's an area where we can really have a lot of impact. So that's definitely what inspires me to work with this age. And likewise, what inspires me to come to work every day. Every now and then, I'll tell my team that I'm turning off my radio and heading to classrooms. And I'll take 30 or 45 minutes and just go walk and sit in classes. Not for purposes of evaluation, not necessarily to give anybody feedback, but just for me, so that I can see the kids in the classroom learning and remember why I do what I do.
Wow. Well, they are a lucky group and a lucky school to have you in their corner. So stepping into those classrooms is the right thing to do. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you again for your time today, Melinda.
Thank you, Drew.
Sure. Hey, we appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your feelings and your insights as you continue this journey this year in the middle level. And for those of you who are experiencing this podcast, remember this is the first of four interviews that we'll do with Melinda throughout the year. So stay tuned and keep your ears and eyes open for future podcasts with journeys in the middle level.